I believe the words of that are so true. And I believe that's why the Lord has been talking to us about His will in this meeting, is because that's really what He's concerned about. But it all boils down, it's what is the will of the Lord. And that's what we want most of all, and so I appreciate you all singing that. I desire an interest in your prayers. Again tonight, I feel a need of them. But I'd like to say before I start that I have thoroughly enjoyed, we have, the privilege that we've had to be here in this meeting. We appreciate very much the love and hospitality that you have shown us. And our heart's desire and prayer is that God would richly bless each one of you, and that He would give you a greater understanding of His will in your life. Because as we have been talking, it is very important that we understand the will of God. When you really look at our purpose here in life, it is, as we have said, to do the will of God and to give glory to Him. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives, in each one of us. And so that's our desire, that we would be able to do that. And that's how God created us. And as we have discussed in this meeting, and I want to reinforce it, because I know that devil tries to tell us just the opposite. But it is God's will that we be saved, that we be delivered from the powers of sin. It is God's will that we be sanctified, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives so that you and I can be victorious over all the things that the enemy brings our way. It is God's will also for you and I, as we discussed last night, that we bear much fruit. Because, dear ones, that's the only way that you and I can truly glorify God. And when you look at it, the Lord wants us to glorify Him, and He has provided everything that you and I need in order to be able to do that and to live successful for Him. And I'd like to look at a scripture. We've read this scripture before already in the meeting, but I want to reinforce it in our minds. It's in 1 John, the 5th chapter. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse, and it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him." Dear ones, I want you to know God loves you. And I want you to know, without any question, that God desires to bless your life. That's His goal. That's His desire. And I don't want the enemy to be effective against us in convincing us that anything that God has for us is not ours. Because we talked last night about grandchildren a little bit and how special they are. And those of you that have them know that it is very difficult when one of those little grands come and they cuddle up to you and they look up into your eyes and they say, "Papa, will you go fishing with me? Will you do this? Will you do that? Can I have this? Can I have that?" It's hard to tell them no, because we love them. They're dear to our hearts. And so when that happens, we want to shower them with blessings. And, dear ones, unless it's something that is not good for them, we won't tell them no. And I want you to know tonight, God is the same way. He will not tell us no if it's something that's good for us, because He desires to bless our lives. Jesus said over here in John, the 14th chapter, in John, the 14th chapter, in the 13th verse, and He said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified." Now remember, our goal, our job, our purpose is to glorify God. But Jesus said here that if we ask anything in His name, that He would do it, that His Father might be glorified. Do you see, even Christ wants to glorify the Father. And what He wants to do is when we ask of Him something according to His will, He wants to do it because it gives glory to the Father. And He said, if you shall ask anything in My name, He said, I will do it. Excuse me. Dear ones, I want to say again, God loves you. God loves you very much, and He desires to bless you. But I want to tell you, the only way that He can do that is if we do the will of the Father. He's not able to do that, without us doing the will of God. And that leads me to the subject that I would like to consider this evening. If you recall, I believe it was in the first message of the meeting, we talked about one of the differences between mankind and all of God's creation. And that was that God gave man a choice of whether he wanted to do his will or not. Do you see, everything else, as we've already discussed, is functioning just like God said, because they didn't have a choice. But God gave mankind a choice. And when you look at the choice that God gave him, He also told him some other things. And so I'd like to go back to Genesis. And I want to notice in Genesis, the second chapter in the 16th verse, what else God told man when He gave him this choice. In Genesis 2 and 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, while God gave man a choice to decide if he wanted to do his will or not, God also told man that there are consequences to the choices that you make. And so he said, if you do this, if you do what I have told you, then I'm going to bless you. But he said, if you don't, he said, you shall surely die. Now, this is just like what the writer said. If you look over in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter and the 20th verse, and I'll just read the first part of this. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, both of them were talking about something more than just physical death. That is also a result of the decisions that you and I make. But the spiritual death has much longer lasting repercussions than our physical death. And so when you look at this, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, when you go back over to Genesis over here in the second chapter, and you look at this, God was warning mankind of the penalties of deciding not to do his will. And the reason that he did that was because he knew what the consequences were. Dear ones, God knew that if man chose not to do his will, that it would lead to things like Cain did, where he slew his brother. Because you see, as we said, Cain was focused on who? Me, wasn't it? He knew that it would lead to things like King Ahab, thank you, that killed Naboth. And why was he doing it? Because he was focused on me. I want this vineyard for me. He knew that it would lead to things like the conditions that were in the world at the time that Noah was here, where man's thoughts were on evil continually, and they were doing things that were not according to the will of God, but that were what man wanted to do, because this is what I want. And so God knew that if they failed to do his will and they decided to do their own will, these are the things it would lead to. He also knew that this would lead to envy and jealousy, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, all the works of the flesh. God knew that it would lead to all of these things if man decided not to do the will of God. And dear ones, he knew that it would lead to things like we're hearing about over in Israel. Things that are awful, that are evil. God knew that if you choose not to do the will of God, these are the things that are going to happen. And he knew, dear ones, that it would lead to the physical and spiritual death of mankind. And he also knew something else. He knew that it would lead to a day of reckoning where man would have to give an account of the choices and decisions that he made. And so I'd like to look at another scripture over here in Revelations. Over here in Revelations, the 22nd chapter. Revelations, the 22nd chapter in the 12th verse, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city." You see, each one of us are going to come to a place in our life, we're going to receive the fruits of our labor. Now, we talked last night about how the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of fruit that's being born in our world today. There's some that is good fruit, but there's a lot of fruit that I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't want to take to the market. You wouldn't want to take and stand before the God of heaven and say, "Lord, I want you to see all this jealousy and all this envy and all this hatred and all this bitterness and all these things that I have been growing in my life." I'm going to tell you, that's why you read scriptures where it says they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Because there's a lot of people that are toting a lot of baggage, a lot of fruit, that they're going to be embarrassed when they stand before the great God of heaven. When they look at God and they know that God said, "I created you to glorify me." And when he looks on their life and he sees that what they've done, instead of glorifying God, they focused everything on me. You see, you hurt me, and so this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to get even. I'm going to do something here. You see, those are the kind of things, dear ones, that you do when you're focused on the flesh. That's why the people that are over there doing those things in Israel right now are doing what they're doing. It's because they have felt that it's been wrong. We've been wronged as a nation and all these things. Whether it's right or wrong, what they should have done instead is got their eyes off of those things and got their eyes on God. Because if they had glorified God, they would have never done these things. But people are doing it. And you say, "Well, I'd never do anything that bad." But I'm going to tell you, God's taking notice of every attitude, of every thought, of every feeling, of every action that we do. God is making a record of all these things, and it's really the title to the fruit that we have. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he's going to look at those things. We're going to hang our heads. Because as you look here, you'll find that there is a record. There is a time of reckoning that you and I are going to have to give an account of these things. And dear ones, it's going to be those that choose to do his will, and it's going to be those that choose not to do his will. But I want you to notice what he said here. He said in this 14th verse, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, his will, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Do you see, dear ones, why I have said over and over in this meeting that it is so important for you and I to understand the will of God? Because the only way that you and I have any hope of making heaven is that we understand the will of God and that we do that, because without doing his will, we'll never have a right to be able to enter heaven. Jesus said over there in John the 8th chapter in the 21st verse, "Then said Jesus unto them, he said, I go my way. I'm going to leave. One of these days, I'm paraphrasing it, I'm going to leave. And he said, you're going to ask about me. You're going to seek me. You're going to try to find me. But he said, you're going to die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come." Do you know there's a lot of people that are seeking the Lord today? There's a lot of people that are inquiring about living for the Lord. But dear ones, he said, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Because, dear ones, you're not going to be able. The only way that we can make it is if we do the will of God. It's not because that God does not want people to go to heaven. Do you realize that? The reason that people are going to go to hell instead of heaven is not because God doesn't want them. Dear ones, I'll say it again. It is God's will that you be saved. And not only you, but every one of God's creation. It is His will that they be saved. It is not God's will for any to perish. And if you look at 2 Peter, Brother Dan quoted this last night. He did. No, I'm sure that I was going to read this. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing." You see, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear ones, I want to say it again. It is not God's will for you or anyone else to be lost. Do you remember what we said last night? God never gets any glory or any praise out of what? The fruits of a sinful life. He never gets any out of it. We read one scripture in Ezekiel, but I've got another one that I'd like to read here. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter and the 11th verse, the prophet said here, he said, "Say unto them," I want you to tell them is what he's saying, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way." You see what he's saying? I don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. It brings me no pleasure, no matter how wicked they are. But he said, instead, that they turn from their wicked way. He said, from his way, from that me attitude that is so prevalent in our world today. And he said, and live. He said, turn ye from your evil ways, why will you die? Dear ones, my hope and prayer is that God would help you and I to understand that it is God's will for you and I to be saved. I hope, and I know it's a feeble attempt, but I hope somehow through this meeting that God has made it abundantly clear that His will is for you to be saved, to be sanctified, that you have power with God from on high, that you can live a victorious life, and that you bear much fruit. That's what, out of everything else, I hope that will stick with you, that as you go in the days ahead, and the enemy begins to come in, and he begins to try to cast you down and discourage you, and he tries to defeat you, that you can remember, no, it is God's will. It is God's will that I be saved. It is God's will that I have power in my life. I don't have to be a slave to sin. I do not have to have that temptation or that frustration or that hurt or that disappointment just woe me over. But I can rise above that because that's what God wants. Do you see, that's the whole burden of this meeting, and that's what the Lord wants for us. And so that's my hope and prayer. As I mentioned at the start, there are many other things involved in doing the will of God. What I've done in this meeting is by the help of the Lord, try to focus on what I would say are the foundation items in living for the Lord. Those are the bedrock. If you don't have those, you can't do the rest of it. You have to have this in your life. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is so much more than just these things. And I want to go back and I want to look at a scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 31st verse, he said, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God." He said, give none offense. Why? Because that's not glorifying to God, is it? Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Not to any of us. That rules out, well, they said this, or they did that. Do you see? He said, don't do it. If they're a part of the church of God, and then if they're not, he said, don't do it. Because that's not glorifying to God. He said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Do you know, Paul said here, he said, whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Now, dear ones, that touches every area of our life, doesn't it? Whatever you do, anything that you do, all that you do, he said, do it to the glory of God. So that touches every aspect of your life. And that's why I said to begin with, we cannot afford to be outside of the will of God in any area of our life. Because if we are, we're not only going to lose the power that we've been talking about, that power that gives us victory in our lives, but if we get outside of the will of God, dear ones, we are not going to be glorifying to God. And I mentioned to you just the other night about my experience and how the Lord put His finger on something in my life. Dear ones, I said then, and I want to repeat it today because I want it to be in our minds, in our hearts. It's more than just being saved and sanctified. These are the foundation stones. But dear ones, you're going to have to take and have more than that. You're going to have to do all the will of God in order to be in the will of God. If you are saved and sanctified and something happens and you begin to get a little attitude, that thing is going to rob you of your salvation and your sanctification. It'll destroy you. You see, that's why I say it's everything. We have to have all of the will of God in our lives. And so when you look at this, I want to remind us again of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of God. And the reason that I say this is because many times people want to pick and choose what they see as important in doing the will of God. But you know, dear ones, that's exactly why we have so much false doctrine in our world today. That's why you have churches in all these different corners. It's because people have said, well, I want to be saved. And that's universal, and we need to do that. Some people say, well, I want to be sanctified and I want to be filled with the Spirit. But then after that, it begins to fall off. Well, you can do this and you can do that, but you don't have to do this. Dear ones, we can't pick and choose in doing the will of God. If your child comes to you and you tell them, Johnny, I want you to go take the trash out and I want you to go feed the dog and I want you to go do this and this. And little Johnny takes and he goes and does this and this, and he comes back and he says, I'm done. Has he done the will of his parent? You say, well, wait a minute. I told you to do such and such. You know, it really doesn't matter that they did these things because there's something that he left undone. And you know, it's the same way with God. God is looking at our lives and he is concerned that we do everything that is glorifying to God. He's not satisfied with you and I just going part way. What he wants us to do is to go all the way with God. And so, I don't want it to be said that, well, Brother Curtis came and he talked about salvation and he talked about sanctification and he talked about bearing much fruit, and that's really what's important about living for the Lord. Dear ones, the Apostle Paul said, and I'll point you back to it, he said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you see, there is not time in this meeting, there's not time in this year to be able to cover everything that is the will of God for our lives. That's why God has created and he has set in the church pastors and teachers and those that have the responsibility to help us as we look into the Word of the Lord to be able to expound that to us and say, oh, I never saw that before. I didn't realize. How many times, dear ones, have you in your walk with the Lord and you've been living for the Lord and all of a sudden the Lord come along and he knocks on your heart's door or he gives you a scripture or maybe a message goes forth and you say, wow, I never realized that before. Do you know that's what the Lord wants? You weren't required of that beforehand, but once the Lord begins to point it out in your life, you're not doing the will of God if you just say, I'm going to do this and this, and that's what I've been doing before. You're going to have to continue to do everything that God has. Do you know the scripture said, and I don't think I looked that one up. It said in one place, it said if we do all the law and offend in one point. What does it say? It said we're guilty of all, doesn't it? Do you see, now you say, Brother Curtis, that's tough. That's tough. Dear ones, remember what I said? God loves you. He wants to bless you. And dear ones, He will not take, and He will not take and say, I told you this, and like I said earlier, and put His hands behind His back and say, I'm going to watch and see if they do it. He will be faithful to be there to help you every step of the way. He will be faithful to knock on your heart's door to remind you, maybe it's in this meeting or that meeting, in your devotions, when somebody gets up with a testimony, you say, oh, I remember the Lord told me that. Do you know that's the mercies of the Lord? And what He's doing is digging about a heart and saying, you know what? You've been struggling with some things in your life, and the reason you don't have power and the reason you don't have victory is because I showed you something over here and you haven't been doing it. Because remember, we said that the benefits of being in the will of God is that we have all the power and authority of heaven behind us because we're doing the will of God. You see, all those, what Daniel faced in the lion's den and how the Lord came down and closed, it was because he was doing the will of God. The reason that God took the heat out of the fire for the three Hebrews was because they were doing the will of God. And you can go right on down through the scriptures. And the reason that God answers your prayer and He works with you and He gives you victory is because you're doing the will of God when you do that. But if you don't, God is not going to be able to work in your life and be effective. I want to look at another scripture over here in John. You say, Brother Curtis, I don't know. There's some things I don't know. I don't understand. I read the scriptures and I don't understand. And there's so many doctrines. There's so many beliefs. There's so many opinions in our world today. And I just don't know. And I will agree with you, there are. And those things can be confusing. But you know, dear ones, there's no confusion in the Word of God. You said, no, wait a minute, Brother Curtis. You just said all these things. There's false doctrine. But I want to point you to a scripture here in John, the 7th chapter. Dear ones, I want to reinforce that our purpose is to glorify God. And it says here in John 7 and 17, He said, if any man will do His will, he'll what? He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Do you see, when our focus is on glorifying God and doing his will, the doctrine, the truth becomes clear. Because you see, when my focus is trying to please God and do and give glory to God, it begins to shine a light on anything that's about me, isn't it? It begins to shine a light on things that I do because of pride or of self or of some kind of hurt or offense. But see, when my focus is on God and I want to please Him, then all of a sudden it becomes clear this is what's giving glory to God. And if it's not giving glory to God, then I can begin to see there's something else. But I'm going to tell you, if our focus is on me, it's going to cause confusion. Because I'm not going to know, well, what about this? This happened and that happened, and the devil will be right there like he did with Adam and Eve, and he's going to begin to work on your thoughts and your mind, and he's going to be saying, well, but see, that was not right what they did. And you say, well, that's true. Well, they shouldn't have done that, so therefore, this needs to happen. Do you see, we begin to reason because we've got our focus off of God and on us. But when I get my eyes off of me, and it doesn't matter what they did, and my goal is to glorify God, then it doesn't really matter what somebody else did. You see, because what I want to do is give glory to God. But the reason that there's so much confusion and false doctrine in our world today is because people have got their eyes and their focus on themselves. And you know what Paul said about that over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 33rd verse. He said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. You see, dear ones, God's will, His ways, His desires, all of His laws, everything are designed for one purpose. And that is to enable you and I to bear the fruits of the Spirit so that you and I can give glory to God. All of his law, everything that God has is designed to help you and I to bear the fruits of the Spirit, which is really what's going to satisfy God. It's going to give Him glory. And as we said the other night, dear ones, when we're bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you know what's going to happen? It's going to splash off on somebody else. It's going to touch the lives of others. And as they touch that and they begin to desire to have it, then you begin to see God being glorified. And God looks down and He begins to see with pleasure what His creation is doing. Do you see? He gets no pleasure or no glory out of the fruits of a sinful life. Because hurts and disappointments and anger and frustration and unforgiveness. Do you ever get pleased to watch your children argue? You don't, do you? If you love them. Now I realize that there are people in our world today that they put their children together and they egg them on and they fight. But that's not somebody that truly loves their children. If you love your children, you don't want that. And dear one, God doesn't need, it doesn't give Him glory. And so the Lord wants us to take, to be and get a hold of what He has in His will, because that's what He has for us, is to give glory to God. The burden of this meeting is just that, is that you and I will recognize that His will is what is best for our life, and His will is what will give you and I the peace and joy in our lives. And as we focus on that and we do His will, it brings glory to God. My heart's desire and the burden that He's given me is that you and I will understand more of the will of God. And I hope and pray that when this meeting is over, those thoughts will be what goes through your mind, and that you'll have a desire to do the will of God. But you know, dear ones, I also recognize that we each one have a choice in the matter. Every one of us have a choice of whether we do the will of God or whether we don't. I recognize, dear ones, that the enemy of our soul is right there trying to do everything he can, just like he did with Adam and Eve and all those since them, is trying to get us to question the will of God. But you remember what I said? If you do the will of God, you'll know of the doctrine. It's when you get in confusion is when you begin to get your eyes off of Him. And so I recognize that the enemy is going to try to do that. And while my hope and prayer is that each one of us will choose to do the will of God. If you're here tonight, or someone listening online, and they're not fully convinced in their own minds that that's what they want to do, that it's worth it to do all the will of God. Because remember I said, it's more than just salvation and sanctification. It touches every aspect of our life. And you say, well, I'm willing to get saved, and I'm willing to make a stand for God. And I'll even consecrate my life to the Lord. But then when the Lord comes along and something happens and those hurts and those offenses and they wound us deeply, and the Lord's saying, I want a deeper consecration, what do we do there? Do we back up? Or do we say, yes, Lord, leave me in the furnace until you burn all this away? If you're here tonight and you're not fully convinced that that's where you're willing to go, can I ask you to consider a question that Jesus asked the people in His time? Because I know the devil wants to get us to go a certain amount, but he's not willing for us to go all the way. And so I want to ask you to consider the question that he asked. And you'll find that question over here in Mark, the 8th chapter. In Mark, the 8th chapter, in the 36th verse, Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you know, dear ones, Jesus was asking a question with an end view in mind. His question was a detailed question. Now, the enemy of our soul would like to get us to take and look at that question and just focus on part of that. He'd like us to focus on just this piece and not all of it. Because you know what? If you look at this scripture and you see what it says, if we just stop at the part here that says, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world?" and we stop there, do you know what it does? It changes the whole equation. Because when you stop there and you say, "Well, what shall it profit if you gain everything?" and you don't look at the end part of it, well, if you stop and think about that, you could think of a lot of things that would benefit you if you gained the whole world. Do you realize you could have all the money that you ever dreamed of? You could buy anything and everything that you ever wanted. You could have the finest houses, and you could have one in every city and every country all around the world if you gained the whole world. You could have the finest fishing boat. You could have one for bass and for crappie and for catfish and every other type of fish. You could go deep sea fishing. You'd have boats for that. You could have yachts that would just, I mean, you could put one in every water there is in every ocean, and you could just have all, see, if you had the whole world, you could have all that, couldn't you? You could have, just think of the cars you could have. Well, you could have muscle cars and sports cars and luxury cars and all of that's out there. You could have trucks. You could have them big old trucks with the big old wheels and climbing over stuff. You could have whatever you wanted. You could have airplanes that you could fly no matter where you want to go. You could have private jets. I'm going to tell you, that they're nice. You get on a company jet and you fly and you go someplace and you drive up there and they put your stuff in and you get on it and you fly there and the car's right there at the wing and you get in. It'll spoil you. But you see, you could have all of those things if you gain the whole world. You could have mountaintop hideaways. You could have oceanside villas. You could have hunting camps and fishing camps. And you could have manicured golf courses if you like that. You see, if you stopped right there, you could say, "Well, I could see a lot of benefit." Because all these things, well, that would be nice. You know what? If you could gain the whole world, you would be the most important and the most powerful person that there is. Because there's no one that could tell you no. If you could gain the whole world, dear ones, there would be nothing off limits to you. Now I want you to think about this. Do you know that's where the enemy would like for people to focus their attention? Is if you could just gain this, if you could just get this, if you get that promotion, if you get that raise. Oh, yes, you see what he's doing? All he's doing is focusing on if you could do this. But he never goes on and shows you the rest of it. But you notice, when Jesus gave this, he didn't stop there. If you look at that, he went on and he said down here, he said, "For what is it shall man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, there's a longer term view of profit than just the present. But many times that's what we want to focus on. And when you say, "Well, why?" It's because, dear ones, you and I can take and we can have short term profits and still lose out in the end. Do you know you can do that in your business? You can have huge profits and you can still go bankrupt. It happens all the time. So the same thing happens spiritually. Do you see the enemy, when he gets to look at this, he says, "Well, you can have this. And you can do this." But he doesn't say what the end result of that is. Now, I want you to notice what Webster says about profit. He says it's financial gain, especially the difference between the amount earned and the amount spent in buying or operating or producing something. Now, if I did like the enemy, I could say, okay, profit is financial gain. Now, I could have a lot of profits like that, couldn't I? If I took and I bought a cow for $1,000 and I sold it for $1,500. You could say, based on those two factors alone, that I had a profit, wouldn't you? But you notice, Webster didn't just say, it's just financial gain. He said, it is, and if you look at this, he said it's the difference between the amount earned and the amount spent in buying, in operating, and in producing something. You see, it involves more than just buying and selling. Now, those are two very important factors, but it involves more than that. Now, you take that example that I just gave you of the cow, and if I bought it for $1,000 and I sold it for $1,500, and you say I've got a profit, but if I spent $500 on feed, you probably wouldn't say I had a profit, would you? You'd say, well, you just balanced out. But if I got milk from that cow, that's worth something. So that kind of changes the equation, doesn't it? And if the cow had a calf, that's worth something. So now you say, well, yeah, now you, I say you got a profit. But you know, if you continue on, and if that calf, if I had to spend $600 on a vet bill because that calf was sickly and then it died, you see, it just totally changes the equation, doesn't it? Do you see what I'm trying to get in our minds, dear ones, is that in doing the will of God, it's not just based on one factor of the equation or another. It's based on the whole. Because we can get saved and we can get sanctified, and those are wonderful things. They're the foundation of what living for the Lord is all about. But dear ones, it takes more than that. And so when you look at this, these are the things, and Webster told us that. I want to look here again at what Jesus said. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you see, dear ones, it's possible to gain a lot of things and still lose out in the end. It's possible, dear ones, for you and I to take, and many people think, well, I got saved. I made a decision for Christ. My name's on a church book, and so I'm okay. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it involves more than that. Those are two, I'm going to say it again, very, very important things. You cannot take and make heaven without them. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's just like buying and selling. If you don't buy, you can't sell. And if you don't sell, you'll never reap the profits. You'll never close the transaction, and so you never reap the profits of what you've done. For example, if you go out and you say, I'm going to buy 100 shares of this stock, and I paid $50 a share for that, and then next week it goes up to $75 a share, and the next week it goes up to $100, you're going to be feeling pretty good, aren't you? You're going to say, I made a profit, but did you? Until you close that transaction, you really haven't made anything. Do you see, this is what I'm getting at. You have to take, and you have to close in transaction, and you take in all of the factors of that transaction, and now all of a sudden you can say, the real profit is, this is what I've got. You see, it went for this, and it went for that. You know what can happen? You can lose it all before you sell it. It's happened many, many times. People have bought stocks, and they thought, wow, I'm doing good, and it went bankrupt before they ever sold it. They had nothing to show for it. Do you know, dear ones, this is why Jesus was talking about the people in his time, and he said to them, they said, Lord, have we not done this, and have we not done that in thy name, and we've all these things that we've done. And what did Jesus say? When they got up there, he said, I don't know you. What do you mean, Lord? I did this and I did that. I don't know you. You see, when everything balanced out, they weren't doing his will. And so they were looking at this and they said, well, Lord, I got saved. I got sanctified way back there. But he said, yes, but you had this attitude that robbed every bit of that from you. You were bankrupt spiritually, and you went on with a profession just like those people saying, Lord, I'm saved. And he said, you've lost it. Oh, dear ones, do you see the burden that is on my heart tonight? I want us to understand how important it is to understand the will of God and that we do that. Because it involves so many things. in the Scriptures. God has taken and He has, down through the years, He has written one Scripture after Scripture. He's allowed one example after example, and He's recorded those in the Scriptures so that it can touch every area of our lives when you and I face things. And His purpose is to show us His will. Do you know, when you look at the things that happened to Peter, God didn't have to put that in there. But I'm persuaded to put it in there to help you and I to understand. You know, here's why Peter got in trouble. But you know, I'm so thankful that God put that in there. Because when Peter got in trouble, He didn't just say, go ahead and sink. He didn't just go ahead and say, when you denied me, I don't even want to hear from you again. What the Lord said is, I love you, Peter. I care for you. I really want to bless you. He said, the enemy hath desired to sift thee as wheat. But He said, I prayed for you. Why did He do it? Because He loved him. Why does He do it for you and I, dear ones, when we stumble, when we make mistakes and we fail? The Lord is right there to lift us up. Oh, dear ones, I want you to get a hold of this kind of vision of God. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will tell you everything different. And when you stumble and fail, he wants to get you down, and he wants to hold you down, and he wants to defeat you. But as I said last night, that's not God's will. It is never His will for you to be defeated. It is God's will for you to have victory in your life. But dear ones, God is also going to require of us to do all of His will. And so we're going to have to do these things. And I look at these things and I see, dear ones, Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want you to consider that. Because if there's something that you're struggling with, and you haven't got victory over it, it could be an attitude. Unforgiveness. They're going to have to make the first step. You see what I'm saying? Is it worth it? Is it worth it when you look at the end of the question? Or are we just listening to partial truths that the enemy is telling us? Am I willing to go all the way with God? Am I willing? Is it worth it? Do you know what? Those things that the enemy is tempting so strongly that's keeping us from going all out for God. Do you know that's what happened? We mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. You know why they held back part of the price? Where was their focus? It's what I want. Do you see what I'm saying? Dear ones, that's the answer to every problem that we have, is get our eyes off of ourselves and give glory to God. If we'll focus on doing His will, all these other things won't matter. When you read that scripture and it talks about sin resisted, tempts no longer, he said, well, I've resisted and I've resisted. What are we doing? Are we doing the will of God? Are we trying to glorify Him? Or are we just trying to resist it in our own strength? Remember, dear ones, when we're in the will of God, all the power and authority of heaven is behind us. And that's where we can have the victory that will enable you and I to come through. Not beat down, not cast down, but lifted up by the grace of God. Oh, dear ones, I hope you get the burden of the message and of the meeting. God loves you. I'm afraid that too many times people get complacent. They get to a place to where they just kind of rely on, I got saved and I got sanctified. And they fail to go all the way with God. And they do not realize, just like those people in Jesus' time, that as they have failed to do the will of God and they've lost power and they've lost the joy and the peace and all these things, and they've gotten farther and farther away from God, but I'm still saved. You see, I've still got an experience. Dear ones, we talked last night about a church triumphant. And that's what God has, and that's what He wants, is a church that reigns over sin, that is not bowed to the knee of Baal, that does not bow to temptation or the disappointments and frustrations of life, but one that arises triumphant over all of those things. A church that is pure and holy, and one that can have victory. Dear ones, my burden is, I believe God has that church, and I want that to be what we are part of. is that we can have power with God, that when people come into our midst, I know y'all been praying for the neighbors to come in, but dear ones, when they come in, there's got to be power that can break the powers of sin that are binding them. And that's my burden. That's my desire. Is I pray when we go to Monarch and we go to meetings, I'm like, Lord, give us deliverance at your altars. I don't want to see people just come down and feel good and get up. I want to see a change in their life. I want to see them as they get up from there and they go forward, that they can say, I, by the power of God, I can have victory over those things. I don't have to have those attitudes and habits and those temptations that just keep knocking me down. I've got something because of a church triumphant. Dear ones, that's what God has. And what did that chorus say? We read it last night. A church that is what? Pure. Where? Over there? Right here in this present evil world. Dear ones, that is God's desire for you and I, is that we can be a part of a church triumphant, that we can have power in our lives, and that we will do all the will of God. Go unconditionally, Lord, in everything. I want it to give glory to you. And I'm going to tell you, when you do, that's the place that you'll find peace and joy and victory and power in your life. And I believe, I just can't help believe it. I've told the folks at home, I said, dear ones, I believe that when we get to the place that God wants us to, and there is power, God has all those souls out there that He wants to bring in. But He needs a church that's triumphant. And so what He's doing is digging about our hearts. And as we do His will, and as we begin to experience this, I believe the Lord will say, knock on the heart, you need to go over there. Not only that, because like we said last night, as you and I go from here, and His love and His joy and those things are splashing on other people around us, they're going to say, man, I've got to go. I want some of that. And that's what God has for us. May the Lord help us each one to do the will of God, to understand the will of God. It's not just one or two things. It's everything that's in the Word of God, because it touches every area of our life. Appreciate your attention tonight.